Day at Drake Stadium in Des Moines. Among the finals that will be run today, the 3,000 meters for the girls, the 3,200 for the boys, along with both the boys and girls, 4x800 meter and the 400 meter dash. Girls and boys, all finals will be run today at Drake. There'll also be preliminaries run in the shuttle hurdle relay, also in the 100 meter dash and the 200 meter dash. Those will have preliminaries run today. Now, the day is divided up into two sessions. The morning session, which gets underway at 9 o'clock today, will feature the 2A and 3A boys and girls squads. This afternoon session, which gets underway at 2:40, that will feature the 1A and 4A boys and girls teams running in the same events as the 2A, 3A do this morning. Now, also, there are a number of field events scheduled for today. Shot and discus, both on the girls' side. Also, the girls will have their long jump and high jump going on today as well. In 3A and 2A action, also a boys shot discus and long jump will be held as well in some of the classes. The 2A, 3A will be this morning, the 1A, 4A this afternoon. They'll have plenty more of those finals tomorrow as well in the field events as the Drake Relays continues. Now, we'll have live updates from Drake Stadium all throughout the week, and Chris Parks is at Drake Stadium for us this weekend, and he'll be reporting the local results for us here on KJAN. 10:45 this morning will be his first report, and he'll be also back on the air at 11:45 this morning. And then all throughout the afternoon at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6:45 in the afternoon, you can catch live updates here on KJAN. If you forget the times, check out our website. You can find those on the front page and the sports page and see what times those reports will be coming up. And Chris, again, will be trackside all weekend long up at the press box at Drake for reports today, tomorrow, and on Saturday. Well, the Girls High School Athletic Union has announced its seventh soccer rankings of the season. In Class 1A, Davenport Assumption remains on top. Waterloo Columbus Catholic and Bishop Heelan Catholic of Sioux City remain 2 and 3. St. Albert drops three spots this week in the poll. They're at number 7. Also in Class 2A, Cedar Rapids Xavier remains number 1. Pleasant Valley and Pella remain 2 and 3. Glenwood stays put this week at number 4 in the poll. Lewis Central drops a couple of spots to number 8 in this week's 2A poll, while Nottoway Valley, West Central Valley, Adair Casey jumps into the rankings this week in Class 2A as they move in at number 15. Ankeny remains the number 1 team in the Class 3A poll this week. Well, the Tampa Bay Rays and the Baltimore Orioles remain tied for the American League East lead after both won Wednesday night. The Orioles managed to pull out a 4-3 win at Kansas City on Adam Jones' solo homer with one out at the top of the 15th inning. Jones was 0-for-16 before going deep against Nate Adcock to send the Birds to their second straight win. The Rays put an end to Boston's five-game win streak as Jeremy Hellickson allowed a run over six innings of Tampa Bay's 2-1 triumph over the Red Sox. The game took a back seat, though, after Tampa Bay second baseman Will Rimes was hit by a pitch near his left elbow. While he was standing at first base, he gestured that he wanted to come out of the game. He took a couple of steps and then collapsed into the arms of first base coach George Hendrick. Trainers worked on Rimes in the coach's box before he was assisted to a utility cart and then left the field. The Rays said that Rimes briefly fainted, but that he was fine. Elsewhere in American League action, Yu Darvish is 6-1 after allowing a run and four hits over 7 2/3 innings in the Rangers' 4-1 win over Oakland. Edwin Encarnacion ripped a three-run homer, and J.P. Arencibia added a two-run shot as the Blue Jays blasted the Yankees 8-1. Ubaldo Jimenez allowed three runs and five hits over six innings as Cleveland won its third straight 9-3 over Seattle. Jamie Carroll supplied a go-ahead two-run double as Minnesota won a wild one 11-7 in Detroit. Albert Pujols smacked a go-ahead three-run homer, and Vernon Wells hit a two-run blast to power the Angels past the White Sox 7-2. Also in the National League, David Freese was 3-for-4 with a tie-breaking homer in the seventh inning as St. Louis outlasted San Francisco 4-1. Pinch hitter Skip Schumacher added a two-run double, and winning pitcher Jaime Garcia allowed one run while fanning 9 over 7 1/3 innings. Giancarlo Stanton belted a two-run homer and made a big defensive play to possibly save two runs in Miami's 8-4 romp over Atlanta. Adam LaRoche homered before his three-run double broke open Washington's 7-4 triumph over Pittsburgh. Chase Headley homered, doubled, and had three RBIs as San Diego doubled up Los Angeles 4-2. Todd Frazier homered twice, and pinch hitter Jay Bruce drove in the tie-breaking run with a sacrifice fly in a four-run eighth inning that lifted Cincinnati past the New York Mets 6-3. Jamie Moyer worked into the seventh inning and also drove in a pair of runs with an infield single to lead Colorado's 6-1 win over Arizona. The Phillies scored seven times in their last two at-bats, picking up a 9-2 win over the Chicago Cubs. And Carlos Lee was 3-for-4 with a homer and three knocked in as Houston picked up an 8-3 win over Milwaukee. Well, Major League Baseball has finally announced that the 2013 All-Star Game will be hosted by the New York Mets at Citi Field on July 16th. MLB decided at least 4 years ago that the Mets would host the game at the ballpark, which opened in 2009, but they held off on an announcement until it reached agreements with the city and agencies for All-Star services and related events. The Mets last hosted the All-Stars in 1964. That was the year Shea Stadium opened up. The game was last played in New York in 2008. That was the final season of the old Yankee Stadium. Also around the majors, Toronto third baseman Brett Laurie has received a four-game suspension and an undisclosed fine for his altercation with umpire Bill Miller during last night's loss to Tampa Bay. Laurie slammed his helmet to the ground before it bounced up and hit Miller, prompting the suspension. Laurie appealed and can continue to play until there is a hearing. Minnesota's Justin Morneau batted fifth and went 1-for-5 for the Twins last night against the Detroit Tigers after coming off the disabled list earlier in the day. Morneau played first base after telling Twins manager Ron Gardenhire that he wanted to play there rather than be the designated hitter. Detroit manager Jim Leland says closer Jose Valverde is day-to-day with a strained lower back. Joaquin Benoit would probably be the primary candidate to close games, although Leland says it could depend on the situation. Well, the Oklahoma City Thunder are heading to Los Angeles with a 2-0 lead in the NBA's Western Conference semifinals, and the Boston Celtics have grabbed a 2-1 lead in the Eastern Conference semis with a dominant win over Philadelphia. The Thunder trailed by 7 with 2 minutes left before scoring the last 9 points in a 77-75 win over the Lakers last night. Kevin Durant capped his 22-point night by hitting the go-ahead basket from the baseline with 18 seconds to play. Russell Westbrook added 15 points for the Thunder, who survived a second half in which the two teams combined for just 59 points. Well, the Lakers failed to score in their last 6 possessions after Andrew Bynum's hook shot made it 75-68 with 2:09 left. Bynum and Kobe Bryant each had 20 points for the Lakers as they'll host Game 3 on Friday. Kevin Garnett and the Celtics are back in control of their NBA Eastern Conference semifinal series with the 76ers. Garnett poured in 27 points and grabbed 13 rebounds as the Celtics hammered the Sixers 107-91 last night in Philadelphia. The center scored 13 of Boston's 32 points in the second quarter after the 76ers carried a 5-point lead into that period. Rajon Rondo finished with 23 points, 14 assists, and 6 rebounds, while Paul Pierce added 24 points and 12 boards to the lopsided win. The Sixers were outscored 61-33 over the second and third quarters after they scored 33 points in the first period. They were led by Thaddeus Young's 22 points coming off the bench. Philly hosts Game 4 in that series on Friday night. New York Rangers coach John Tortorella was not happy with his team following a 3-2 loss to the New Jersey Devils, which even that series at 2 games apiece. He was asked 6 questions during the post-game news conference and spent less than 14 seconds answering them. His quick meeting with the press came after he benched his top scorer, Marian Gaborik, for part of the third period. David Clarkson's tip-in at 2:31 of the final period was the difference as the Devils grabbed home ice advantage from the Blue Shirts. Second period goals by Mark Stahl and Chris Kreider put the Rangers up 2-1 before Ryan Carter knotted the score with a minute 51 left in the period. Clarkson then won it with his 3rd goal of the postseason. Martin Brodeur was outstanding following Clarkson's game winner, making 8 of his 23 saves in that final period. Ilya Kovalchuk scored for the Devils, along with Bryce Salvador, who had 2 assists, and the Devils will host Game 3 on Saturday afternoon in that series. A Bodie Meister has been made the 8-5 morning line favorite for Saturday's Preakness. The Bob Baffert-trained colt set the pace in the Kentucky Derby before being overtaken in the stretch by I'll Have Another, who beat Bodie Meister by 1 1/4 lengths. I'll Have Another is the second favorite for the Preakness at 5-2 in that 11-horse field, which was entered yesterday. Arbitrator Sham Daz has finished hearing arguments from NFL and players' union lawyers on whether Commissioner Roger Goodell can discipline players for actions that occurred before the league's current labor agreement was signed last August. The 2-hour hearing was prompted by a grievance filed by the union after Goodell suspended 4 current and former New Orleans Saints players in connection with the league's bounty investigation. Suspended players Anthony Hargrove and Scott Fujita attended that hearing. Daz has not said when he would issue his ruling. As Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz tours the state on the iClub circuit, he is constantly being asked about changes on his staff. Known for its stability, the staff saw several changes following the past season. Defensive coordinator Norm Parker retired, offensive coordinator Ken O'Keefe left for the Miami Dolphins, and the entire staff was shuffled when Phil Parker and Greg Davis were brought in to replace them.
We went 13 years with the same two coordinators and feel very fortunate to just have such outstanding coaches as Norm and Ken. You know, things happen in football, certainly, and in life, and I'm just really thrilled about the job Phil Parker and all the defensive coaches have done. And getting Greg Davis has been a lot of fun, too. He's done a great job in a short amount of time and really is a good fit on our staff. So really pleased about the way things went. And then we were able to hire two of our former players, two former captains, and that's been fun, too.
Davis takes over as offensive coordinator, a position that he also held at Texas. And Ferentz says he's excited to have Davis on board.
Just very impressed with everything I learned about Greg and the way he does things offensively. And I think he's very flexible in his thinking. Yet, obviously, you know, he's a veteran coach and he's had a lot of success. So he's got some really strong ideas. And, you know, we all had a very open mind. So I think it's really been a great chance for all of us to visit about things and pull some things together. But, you know, it's still predominantly it's going to be done the way Greg wants to do it and the way he wants to call it, that type of thing. I'm just excited to have him. I think he's a tremendous addition. His expertise is outstanding.
The staff changes have also included the additions of two former Hawkeyes. Ferentz's son Brian and LeVar Woods are new assistant coaches. The elder Ferentz says he's not surprised to see either one of those former players joining the coaching ranks.
When they were playing, you know, you just saw some traits in both those guys in terms of the way they were thinking about things, the way they were aware of other people and the influence they had on other people. And you know, I think that's what you want coaches to do as well. So I'm not surprised both of them have grown into those roles. And all that being said, they're still, you know, real young in their careers. They'll continue to grow and develop like hopefully all of us do. But at the same time, I think they really bring a nice new perspective to us.
Well, the Hawkeyes will open up their season on September 1st against Northern Illinois. That game will be played at Soldier Field in Chicago. You can catch Hawkeye football all season long this fall right here on KJAN. Don't forget that first track and field update from the State Track and Field Championships in Des Moines. Chris Parks will have that for you coming up this morning at 10:45 today. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.